boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Welcome to episode number 2 of Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings. I am Dalton Moore with my co-host.
What's up, guys? I'm Bruce.
Who is not under the weather today. As he told me earlier, he is over the weather, as am I. We have a lot to talk about involving the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona today on July 7th, 2019. Let's get this thing started.
Whoa, it's 7-7 in the 77-1.
Oh, that is crazy. I did not think about that. So there's a fun fact for you guys out there listening. All right, general race review of this thing is how we're going to start this off. I thought the race today was kind of what I thought it would be. I thought it was wild. There was a lot of people driving over their heads from the drop of the green flag. It was weird. They would almost get single file for a few laps, and then it was like those guys couldn't be patient. What did you think about it?
That's what's weird, because like in the past couple plate races, they've been single file for a long time, and it's been really boring.
Yeah, I thought today they were from the drop of the green flag, and I don't know if it was because weather was in the area or if a lot of those guys knew that this was their last best opportunity to get a W before the playoffs start. But I thought it was very, very entertaining from the drop of the green flag. There was moments where, like I said, they would get single file and it would kind of tone down for 5 to 15 laps. But then somebody would jump out of line, normally in the Chevrolet camp, and that would be kind of where that went. What did you think about the way Kurt Busch got done there towards the end when the rain started coming in?
Oh, it was such an injustice. But I don't know what you can do on NASCAR's part. I mean, when the lightning strikes, it's kind of like a what are you going to do situation. But I guess that's just a risk you take pitting. But Landon Cassel got screwed too. But I mean, it's not like he was going to. I mean, it would have been a big win for him. He would be in Justin Haley's seat right now.
Right. So, that's nothing against that kid. But I don't.
I mean, he was running like 27th when the big one hit, and
we will get into the big one later and our opinions on that. But I thought overall the race was pretty solid today. I thought this package, which we'll dive into a little bit more later, was solid again today, like it was in Talladega, and I think the weather had a whole lot to do with that. From start to finish, I thought it was pretty exciting, and then the phantom lightning strike that halted the Coke Zero Sugar 400.
The phantom lightning clock that nobody's heard about till today.
Yeah, that clock is probably the most popular thing right now, and it's not a good look.
I understand the need for it, but why does it got to be 30 minutes? I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of like scientific explanation for
possibly.
It, but I feel like maybe even 10 minutes would be acceptable. I'd be like, okay, I understand.
Or as Dale Jr. said in the broadcast, that, maybe we need 2 or 3 lightning strikes before we start the lightning clock. And, we used to have the caution clock, we got the damage clock, and now we got the lightning clock. So NASCAR's all about having some clocks.
And as far as the fan safety go, I mean, they're out there throwing the football with Bubba Wallace. So, I mean, how?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, you're not going to tell a drunk redneck to get out of the stands when there's lightning in the area. And I can say that because I'm a NASCAR fan. So, without further ado, that was kind of our quick recap of the events today. We will start getting into some points here. One thing I noticed today is the manufacturers are hell-bent on this working together thing.
Understandably
to a T. I mean, but they kept saying on the broadcast today where Ford had their meetings with just their crew chiefs and drivers weren't allowed, and Chevrolet did the same thing. Well, me as a race fan, what does that do with Toyota? Where does Toyota fit into all that? There were 6 of them in the race today, 6 Toyotas.
Well, I think, didn't Toyota and Chevy have kind of like a alliance at Daytona to kind of team up against Ford?
It kind of looked that way to me when they raced the Dega in the spring. Today, I didn't really see that. With Toyota, you got Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch was making moves, whatever line was moving. That guy right there, he just wants to win. He don't care who he's working with.
That's one of the exceptions. And that's what's frustrating when you're watching and your favorite driver is like Blaney. I'm a Blaney fan and he drives a Ford. Well, the fastest line for him might not be with the Fords, but he's going to stay there and work with the Fords, and that's kind of frustrating when there's a hole he could move into, but he can't because they have to work with their manufacturers.
Oh, trust me, I feel the same way.
It gets very frustrating.
I feel the same way. When I'm a Chase Elliott fan, and when they were having those restarts there and he was letting Bowman in and Byron in, and, you know, that's frustrating as a race fan for me watching. I know it's frustrating for him behind the wheel to have to let those guys into line. You know, it's not, you know, it's racing, but, you know, it's too orchestrated almost. And, I mean, yeah, it helps out.
I understand, too, working with your team. But when it comes to, like, helping, like, if you're a Penske driver and helping out a Stuart Haas driver, that's exactly where, or, like, a Hendrick driver helping out, I don't know, RCR.
Yep.
Or Ganassi. That's where it kind of gets skeptical or iffy.
It's a little bit of a gray area, I think. Yeah. You know, and especially to the point of earlier, you know, there are six Toyotas. What does Toyota do? You know, if I'm Kyle Busch, you can't trust anybody besides your four teammates, Matt DiBenedetto and Parker Kligerman.
Yeah, I forgot he's the other Toyota.
And, you know, that's your go-to guys that you can trust. And, I mean,
you know what's weird? With as much success Toyota's had in the sport, they only have that many drivers. That's insane.
Well, you had Furniture Row, which added one or two. You know, when Eric Jones was there, it added two. And, you know, that team
shutting
especially
down. With guys like Christopher Bell coming up, I mean, and then Eric Jones, I mean, he's on the hot seat, I guess.
Right.
There's got to be somewhere they got
to
go.
Yeah, it's just – it's weird to see. You know, what do you do if you're Toyota in that situation? But to the other manufacturers, you know, to their –
it was like 16 Fords, 18 Chevys, I think. So right. They're pretty even.
And to their credit, they stuck together. I mean, the whole first stage was, you know, Chevrolet made their little run there towards the end with Chase leading the bottom line, coming to the end of that stage that Joey Logano won. But for the most part, that was all Fords in that first stage. They just kind of ganged up and had 9 of the top 10 positions at one point. And then the second stage was all Chevrolets. They kind of decided, you know what, no, this ain't going to happen. And you had Austin Dillon and the Hendrick cars and Larson lined up on the bottom. And we'll dive into Austin Dillon a little bit later.
He's the reason for all this, pretty much.
We'll dive into that here in a little bit. But, you know, Chevrolet dominated the second stage with Austin Dillon winning. And that's where I'm getting at is nobody tried to pull out of line to pass Austin Dillon coming to the
I don't know if it was necessarily that. I just don't know that they had a big enough run to be able to pull out.
And that could be it, too. I feel like they were kind of content with finishing second, third, fourth, and fifth. And, you know.
And to that point, what was it, last year at Dega, Chase Elliott called that out. Nobody wanting to pull out and go with him to
When Ford was dominating, yes, last year in the playoffs.
To make a move. And that's also frustrating when your favorite driver is just content with riding.
Yes, I totally agree.
But, 100%. I mean, they're given no choice.
Right.
Essentially.
Right, I do agree. But, you know, I think that's kind of what we've come to now in super speedway racing. You know, it's not restricted plate racing anymore. We can't say that. It's just super speedway racing.
I'm still going
to
say it.
Hey, it's
just
your prerogative.
It's just like NBA owners are called governors now. You can't say owner.
It's your prerogative, buddy. I'll go with whatever you go with, and you go with what I go with, because this is what we do on Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings.
We're politically incorrect.
That's right. But I think that's just the new norm. I think that's what we're going to see at Talladega in the playoffs and probably for next year's 500 and on down the line. You know, these manufacturers have made it really clear that this is what they want. This is how they want it done. Don't break the rules and everybody will be happy. And at the end of the day, Chevrolet was put in victory lane and they finished 1, 2, 3, I do believe, because I think Jimmy finished third.
Yeah, see, I was hoping they'd go back green just for either Jimmy to finally win again or Willie B to get his first.
Oh, I was pulling for Byron so hard. That was such a good-looking car.
I think they would have been the two to watch had they went back green.
And as a former Jeff Gordon fan, that 24 has a soft spot in my heart.
It was so beautiful.
But, you know, there's two wins in a row for Chevrolet now. That's probably the first time that's happened in a while.
Two back-to-back first-time winners.
That's crazy to think about, even though, you know, Justin Haley probably didn't deserve it.
Two top fives for Jimmy in a row. That's big.
And Hendrick cars ran good again, which, you know, super speedway, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. But I think they have kind of found their
mojo.
Mojo, and that's kind of dangerous for the rest of the field.
Seems like it.
But what about Spire Motorsports getting a win before Stuart Haas? We got to touch on that for a second.
Who would have guessed?
I mean, that is insane.
Well, mainly Kevin Harvick.
Harvick, yes, that is very shocking.
Speaking of Harvick, not to change the topic, but, I mean, he doesn't lift, right, Keselowski?
Yes.
It's Harvick. A guy that doesn't lift either.
Harvick doesn't lift. The karma that happened right there with Keselowski, you know, and I think that was more of a racing deal, but, you know, if Keselowski doesn't make his comments he makes earlier in the weekend, does Harvick maybe lift a little bit more than what he did? Maybe not hit him quite as hard, but, you know, it's not that Keselowski threw a block, and they're coming to the end of stage one.
I don't know what happened there because Keselowski just kind of like, I don't know, Harvick just got such a run that he just ran into the back.
I think he got side drafted. I think I can't remember who was on the inside of him, but he got side drafted really hard and it kind of slowed him down a whole lot. And Harvick just drilled him and he just lost control. But it's kind of back to him not blocking. If you watch the end of stage one, Chase Elliott had a big run coming off of turn two on him. And Keselowski went down to block him, and Chase just stuck his nose in there. And I think it kind of shot Keselowski. He pulled back up to the middle lane, and I think that was Chase, you know, saying, hey.
Yeah, if you're going to make those
comments. Don't tell my teammate not to block if you're going to try to throw the block too. But, yes, that couldn't have happened to a better person. And, you know, I seen a thing, and Keselowski's one of those guys you want to like him. You want to like the guy. He's very patriotic. He
cares a lot about the sport.
He cares about NASCAR, and he's a heck of a talent. And then he goes and pulls some dumbass move like he did in practice, and you just can't help but.
Now, look, if that happened in the race, I would understand. But in practice, there's no need for it.
Tend to go in the race, somebody throws a block, send him in through the infield. That's fine. In practice, and camera angles are iffy, but it didn't look like Byron threw that big of a block.
And I understand he's been wrecked out of a lot of plate races recently, and he's frustrated.
But guess what happened today?
Yeah, but today you tried a different approach and the same thing. They're such unpredictable races. Of course, you're not going to be able to control anything.
Right. It's hard to predict what's gonna happen in these things, and that's why I think these manufacturers are trying to, you know, back to touching on manufacturers, they're trying to predict what's going to happen. If you think about it, you know. And it's just, it's so unpredictable to do that in these races. You know, it's, racing in itself is unpredictable. Who would have ever thought Justin Haley would be the winner at Daytona?
I mean, it's kind of redemption, though, after what happened in the Xfinity Series last year.
Yeah.
In the July race.
This is very true, but.
That was very.
He deserved that one a little bit more than he deserved this one.
And then finishing second Friday night.
To Ross Chastain, yes.
Ross Chastain.
That race was solid. We'll kind of touch on what happened in that this whole weekend later, a little bit later on. But back to the Cup race. So this package, okay. Are you a pro or con for this package on super speedways, or are you are you positive? Are you for it? Or are you against it? Like, what's your pros and cons for it?
I'm not. I can't get into it, like, from a mechanical standpoint because I'm just...
We're not engineers.
No, yes. So all I can tell you is what I see on the track and give my best analysis on it to the best of my abilities, and it's just boring. I don't know how else to explain it. The cars are closer together, but it...
You thought the rest of the day was boring?
No, not today.
I'm talking about the super speedway.
Oh, thought you were talking about in general.
No.
I mean, personally, I like the tandem.
Hey, Kentucky's next week. We'll get to talk about all that.
Oh, God. That'll be fun. And long. And
but are you for or against this super speedway package with the 8-foot tall spoilers and the...
Those are comically funny.
Oh, dude, they're huge. And I actually like this super speedway race, and I think it's more... Dale Jr. kind of touched on it. I think it's more of...
Whatever Jr. says about super speedways, yes. Go with it.
He said it was more old school. You know, they're not running wide open all the time. They can get runs. They can come through. I mean, look at Ricky Stenhouse. After he got spun off the front bumper of Kurt Busch.
Which he was right back up there.
Right. It took him 10 laps to get back to the front, which if that would have happened last year, he would have been mired back because everybody is – you have nowhere to go. With this package, you can get runs and you know, side drafting is so important, and it slows them down so much because the spoilers are gosh darn tall. You know, I think this package is really, really spot on for super speedways. You know, yeah, they're running a whole lot faster. And did you notice how all the Ford hoods, the little cow opening things for, you know, when they get turned around, they pop open, kept blowing off. Paul Menard had one come off his hood, and I think David Reagan had one come off his hood just from how fast they're moving and how much turbulent air is coming off those cars in front of them from those big spoilers. And, you know, I think this package is pretty solid for the super speedways, because I think Talladega was a really good race. And
but you have to take that with a grain of salt, because Steve Phelps will hear you say that and think you mean right. General. And
this package in general, not a big fan, but for the super speedways, I think they've hit it spot on. Even though they kind of look like one of those drag cars with their rear ends really high up in the air, you know, because the spoiler sticks up 8 feet. But that's neither here nor there. They're goofy looking, but they produce some good racing. And hey, man, right before the big one struck, thank you, Austin Dillon, that race was getting wild.
It was heating up. It was bound to happen.
Look, as I said earlier, I'm a Chase fan, man. It was three wide from the front row to the back of the pack, and I was getting nervous. I wanted him to get out of the hornet's nest. When you got people up in the front by the name of Paul Menard, hey, Austin Dillon.
I'm hard for Menard. Very much. just kidding.
But when you got those guys up there in the front, it's always hairy, man. Them dudes are, they're talented. They wouldn't be there without talent. I mean, that's, you know, nobody would be there, even Justin Haley. But Paul Menard does not know how to run up front. He doesn't.
No, which, I mean, he's never been in equipment good enough to run up front right. Until now. I mean,
I trust David Reagan more up front than I do Paul Menard.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, he's got experience at, you know, super speedways running up front.
Winning.
I don't want to talk about that.
Deep, dark feelings coming out now. You know, I brought this up to you the other day, back to the manufacturers and everything that happened today. Could you imagine back in the mid-2000s when Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon were dominating restricted plate races? You know, 03, 04, 05.
Or Tony Stewart, I think.
Stewart here and there. July Daytona race. Yeah. But you had Jr. win all them races in a row at Talladega. You had Gordon constantly winning at Talladega. He won the 500 in 05, the July race in 04, swept Talladega in 07. Like, you know, from 03 to 07, when Gordon and Jr. were just...
And Jr. won four in a row at Daga.
Yeah, when you went to a restricted plate racetrack, you knew the 24 and the 8 car were who you had to contend with, right? What manufacturer they drive? Chevrolet's. Could you imagine back in those days what the reaction would have been if Dale Jr. would have finished second to Jeff Gordon and said, hey, just following Chevy orders?
I'm cool with it.
No.
No, I'm saying that's... Like, and saying, like, I'm... Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying is, no, that's not... You know, that's not cool. And like I said, I get it. But that was one of the points I wanted to bring up is, you know, back in them days...
Well, I mean, or even in, like, the 90s.
The 90s restricted plate racing was a whole different breed, man. It wasn't even the same. Went back and watched an old Daytona 500?
Could you imagine them guys working together like that and just being cool?
What, Earnhardt and Gordon? Like, Earnhardt Sr. and Gordon?
Just being cool, riding second to the other. There's no way.
The uproar of that would have been massive on the fan front.
And that's the only thing I hated about tandem racing was having to just be content being a pusher. And
I wasn't a big fan of tandem racing. You know that. I that's just how that goes. I'm not gonna dive into that rabbit hole. But I wasn't a big fan of that, but I am a fan of the pack racing, and I'm a fan of super speedway racing about as much as we do it four times a year. I don't want to do it anymore. I wouldn't really want to do it any less, but guess what we do every week? We kind of super speedway race, and that's how it is. So,
those are apparently the most interesting, according to Steve Phelps as well.
Oh, yeah.
I seen that interview last night.
I want to drink whatever's in his Kool-Aid because it is good for him. And, you know, he can keep doing what he's doing and killing the sport I love so much. But, all right, to the big one. Man, I like Chevrolet. I'm a big Chevy guy. You know that. Austin Dillon, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, he had – I mean, it's kind of hard to assume what was going through his mind. I mean, maybe it was completely uncontrollable. But it looked like he went down the block, and then he kind of, like, corrected it, and then just, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it was just the air or if Boyer actually dumped him because he was blocking, or what? I mean, it's, I don't know.
Look, and I'm not saying, I don't drive a race car. I don't go 200 miles an hour. Never have, probably never will. And yes, I don't know how them cars react when a guy's pushing, 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 and all of a sudden darts left.
I mean, the spotter could have cleared Boyer or Austin Dillon. Or the spotter may have cleared Austin Dillon and said he was clear.
You could be right. But in my eyes, what happened is Boyer's mind went a little bit faster than Austin's did there.
And that pays with experience.
Boyer dove to the bottom, realized that, you know, he had some momentum before Dillon realized that he probably needed to go to protect the bottom again. I think it was more of a racing deal, but that this goes back to the guys you have at the front.
I feel like Austin Dillon's involved in a lot of big ones.
I mean, yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, it's a shame that it tore up that many race cars, and that's ultimately what led Justin Haley to winning the Coke Zero 400. What can you do?
That's literally the move that led to him winning.
You know, it's one of those deals where they bobbed and weaved at the wrong time.
They knew the weather was coming.
Oh, yes, yes, for sure. I think that's why that was ramped up so bad, man. I was sitting there. That was some of the best racing I'd watched all year up to that point. Guys pushing and shoving and, you know, giving all they got. Not that they don't every week, but every week you can't tell when a guy's giving all he's got. You know what I mean? It's one of those deals where at Kansas, yeah, they're giving all they got, but you can't really tell they're giving it all they got. You know what I mean?
Right.
Today, when you're driving down the backstretch and you're seeing Kyle Larson give a shot to the back bumper of the 24 car that just propelled, you know them dudes are trying, you know? And, that was some of the best racing I'd seen all year up to that point of when Dillon got turned and or when he turned himself. And, man, Chase was that close to clearing it. And
so close.
He got caught up in it, and he hit the wall hard, man. I thought he was hurt, and they showed him down there on the infield. A lot of guys took some hard hits in that, and like I said, after that wreck happened, I was like, oh, Byron made it through it. Come on, yeah. 24 car. That's, you know, like I said, I got a soft spot in my heart for that 24, and it was not meant to be, but, you know, Austin Dillon, you got some talent, buddy, and you've lucked yourself into a few wins, but I don't feel comfortable when you're leading the pack at a restricted plate race. I don't feel comfortable when you're in the top 10, to be quite frank, and the sad part is
it doesn't happen too often, though.
No, it doesn't. I feel more comfortable with Ricky Stenhouse up there, if that's telling you anything. And,
to an extent.
Oh, Ricky get a little wild every now and then, too. But it's just, man, that sucked for the whole field. I hated that. I wish it wouldn't have happened. I think you would have seen a different winner. Actually, I can 100% guarantee you would have seen a different winner.
Well, and on that note, if this random lightning clock doesn't exist, we go back racing.
This is true.
And probably finish.
This is true. I don't know if we finish. Oh, we're still 33 laps to go, I think, when they called it. They probably would have. It would have been close. Depends on how many more wrecks they had, but there wasn't that many cars left. No. Speaking of lightning and rain delays, what do you think about Bill Wallace throwing football with the fans? You think that's a cool little gig there?
Oh, that was awesome.
Did you see Daniel Hemric get denied by the fence?
Yeah, he whiffed it.
I think that's something neat that those guys do.
Yeah, that's awesome. It keeps the fans engaged during the boring lightning clock delay.
The lightning clock delay, man. Somebody just made a Twitter account for that. I guarantee it there's a lightning clock Twitter account right now.
We're checking after this, and if not, we're making it. And we're running it.
Speaking of social medias, you can follow our social medias on Twitter. It's @Bent_Hurt. And we have a Facebook page, Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings, a Facebook group. It's a closed group. You can join. Myself or Bruce will accept your request to join it. Working on making an Instagram page. Haven't gotten around to doing that yet, but you can follow us on Twitter @Bent_Hurt. We'll just be kind of posting all kinds of news and stuff.
Updates.
You know, things along that nature. I was behind today. I started the race late. It was recorded, so I didn't get to post during the race. I was trying not to get on social media so I wouldn't get it spoiled for me. But you can follow us there on Facebook at our Bent Offenders and Hurt Feelings Facebook page, and then again on Twitter at Bent_Hurt. So just wanted to get those in there. I didn't in the first episode, and they're in there now. So
yeah, feel free to join and post whatever or post memes. I mean, anything NASCAR related.
And really, there's not a whole lot of rules to our group. I mean, there's a lot of people that bash Kyle Busch and
a lot.
a lot of people in there. We got 30 people right now, and we just want to keep it growing and all that stuff because we love talking all things racing. So, you guys, if you listen to this, feel free to go like that page and follow our Twitter and things like that. But back to this evening's events or today's events. Do you think they should have waited a little bit longer before they called it?
Well, I think once they lost the track, as they say, I think they pretty much knew. But Matt Weaver tweeted like 30 minutes after they called it that it's clear and looked pretty clear.
Okay, so...
So I think they probably should have waited. I mean, if Carl Edwards was leading, they would have waited. But that's a whole another topic that I'll discuss
later time
at length to anybody that'll listen. But coincidentally, his last career win was a rain shortened race, so what are you gonna do?
Right. That cracks me up. But you know, the way I feel about it, Daytona has lights for a reason. Yeah. NBC picked up NASCAR knowing the risks of weather. So
at Daytona?
You know,
in July.
What I understand, you gotta have your whatever volleyball show was coming on NBCSN when they ended Monster Jam and stuff like that. But at the same time, hey, you know, NASCAR may be losing popularity, but it's still way more popular than both of those sports put together.
At Daytona.
You know, I think they could have waited. And, I don't think NASCAR's thrilled with Justin Haley winning the race. You know, that can't be good for them, really. And truly, it was if you think about it, minus the stage wins and the stage points, that was a wasted race.
Honestly.
Playoffs are concerned.
Yeah, because they don't qualify for the playoffs because he's qualified for Xfinity points.
Right. He's not going to be in the top 30 in points. So
that really hurts guys like Ryan Newman, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez.
Byron, Jimmy Johnson, guys that aren't locked in.
Even Matt DiBenedetto. I mean, I think that was his last shot to...
Corey LaJoie was finishing the top 10. Yeah. I mean, you had all these dudes that are running for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series championships that had it wiped away from a guy on a 3-race deal. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Justin Haley. I will personally never win a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race. Me personally, probably never going to happen.
Never say never. No, I'm tired of these Xfinity guys stealing wins from these Cup guys. I'm tired of it. NASCAR, do something about it.
Yeah, get these Xfinity regulars out of the Cup Series.
Get them out of it.
It's just crazy. No.
I'm tired of it.
Oh, that's funny. I think you could even kind of tell in Dale Jr.'s voice at the end of the race. He was not wanting to be a Debbie Downer, but he was not thrilled with the way that race finished, and he was trying his best to put on a happy face and a smile. And I think he did a pretty good job of it. I love Dale Jr. in the booth.
I mean, he's great.
He is genuine. Genuine. When Kurt Busch spun Stenhouse out,
he's genuinely excited and interested and invested.
They was going to commercial, and this man said, "Nope, not today." Like, that's the stuff you're not going to get out of Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon's not going to be in the booth and Fox going, "Nope, not today."
Gordon is good, though. I'll give him credit. He's been solid in the booth.
Gordon is good, but Dale Jr. is just something about a good old redneck up there.
It's a different tone.
You know, he's an Earnhardt, man. That's self-explanatory. He is an Earnhardt. And I couldn't be happier to have him up there in the booth. And NBC as a whole, a breath of fresh air. And I think they do a great job. I think their camera angles are better than Fox.
Yeah.
I think they have it covered a little bit better than Fox does. And
I feel like they promote better too.
Oh, without a doubt.
They promote a lot better.
I think NBC is solid for the sport. You know, it was a wild race today. A phantom lightning strike giving a guy a win. And you know, how do they predict that lightning strike was 7.4 miles away from the racetrack? You know, that's
neither here nor there. But if you're Kurt Busch, I completely understand, but at the same time, I don't know what NASCAR can do in that predicament. I mean, they have their guidelines and rules they have to follow, and that lightning strike was in the parameters of them, you know, having to wave the caution and sit them down for that clock.
I agree.
So it's kind of a lose-lose there.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And
I mean, if it was my driver, I'd be
protesting. Be outraged.
Yeah, I'd conspiracy theory.
I'd have come on this show right here just cussing, but it was not Chase. He was taken out by dumb Austin Dillon. And
Blaney was in that wreck.
Oh, the whole field was in that wreck besides Byron and Jimmy pretty much. And, you know, that's just how it goes. And
do you think, had they went back green, do you think Jimmy would really give it to Byron to win since he hasn't won in like 2 years? Or do you think he kind of passes the torch?
Jimmy goes for a win.
That's very – yeah, I think –
no, there's no – I don't even think that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, if he hasn't been – if he hadn't have fallen off the past 2 years,
maybe. Still think he goes for the win.
Maybe. I
think it's 100%. That's why them dudes are there where they're at. They have to go for the win. That's their job. I mean, that's what blows my mind about the stage end and stage two, you know. And Talladega, quite frankly, is Bowman didn't pull out on Chase. And, you know, that's just it's kind of the gray area, I guess, of working with your manufacturer buddies. And, you know, it is what it is now, and it's over and done with. And
on to Kentucky.
On to Kentucky.
Everybody's excited about that.
News fest that's going to be.
Truex or Cobbler should probably win that one. Maybe Harvick. That seems like a race Harvick would run up front and dominate.
I love NASCAR, and I'm dreading Kentucky. I've been there. Terrible, terrible place to go.
Have they had a good cup race since they've come in?
No.
I don't think they have either.
We got Kentucky in the Cup Series, not Iowa. So that's how that goes.
Or the Fairgrounds. Or
National Fairgrounds Speedway. Dale Jr. loves you.
Or another road course.
Rockingham. You know, places like that. No, we get Kentucky. That's how that goes. And that is next week, and we will preview that. And probably the Saturday before. But it's just, man, today was good until it wasn't.
Surprising.
Today was good until it wasn't is what I will say it was. And how did you feel about the whole weekend of activities? The Xfinity race I thought was really good.
Yeah, it was great. It was more entertaining as a whole, I think.
Well, you have Ross Chastain, who a lot of people like. Not everybody likes his watermelon smashing.
Oh, I love it. It's good for the sport. It's passion. It's something you can market too.
Oh man, there's watermelon companies all over the world. That are just
not even that, but like Barstool, I could see them posting that.
This is true.
The celebration, just because it's funny.
This is true, and
there's all kinds of memes. So many memes galore. So many memes.
I thought the Xfinity race was really good. Tyler Reddick, I think, drove a little over his head, like he does most weeks.
That's Xfinity Series champion Tyler Reddick to you.
Can you believe that? One win and he won the championship over Christopher Bell. Man, that's another discussion for a different day on the playoff format. But I thought this weekend was a solid NASCAR weekend all in all. And I think they had some good racing all over the country. Short track wise, I've seen a lot of videos on social media where there was a lot of close finishes and beating and banging. And you almost can't beat July 4th weekend. I mean, what do you think? I just think about beer and hot dogs and racing, man, baseball,
well,
stuff like
next
that.
Next year it'll be Indy, so that'll be fun.
Oh, gosh. Yes, in case any of y'all forgot, this was the last race for Daytona on July 4th weekend. And what a fitting end. It's Justin Haley in a lightning storm delay thunderstorm that wins this thing.
But that's perfectly NASCAR, though.
That is the most NASCAR thing that could have happened. And, you know, it is what it is. And congratulations to Justin Haley, as much as we've sat here and kind of dogged how it ended. You know, that's a big deal for him, big deal for that team.
Again, nothing against him. It's just, I don't know, it kind of felt undeserved, but it's not because, I mean, he won. So, I mean, if you win a race...
Hey, he gets to take that trophy home no matter how he got it.
I mean, if you win a race, you deserve to win. I don't think post-race inspections happen yet. He could fail.
Oh,
William Byron could win this race.
We might be making a third episode tonight. Who knows?
That would be insane. But I'm kind of pulling for it, low key.
You need to get on Twitter right now. Make sure that hasn't happened.
The more chaos, the better. I'm all for chaos, which is funny because we got it because Justin Haley won.
Oh man! Well, congratulations to Justin Haley, and then congratulations or thank you to Daytona for having this great 4th of July tradition that's coming to an end.
Sadly,
I'm gonna hate to see Indy at this time next year, and you can't go to the beach in Indianapolis. No. Impossible. As much as you want it to happen.
You can go to Holiday World.
That's your closest beach right there. But we thank you guys for listening. This is first of many, hopefully.
It may have been a little rough, but we're gonna improve and get better.
We're a work in progress. It may kind of be all over the place, but we're new to this, and
we'll learn structure and how to talk more and what to talk about and go into more detail. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job.
Hey, I just love NASCAR, and I want to talk about NASCAR. Well,
that's how we thought of the idea to start it. We just talked about it all the time. And, like, what you just heard is a normal conversation we'd have.
Yep, call each other up and talk about it. And, you know, a lot of big things happened today. Austin Dillon, still think you're an idiot for causing the big one. Just want to throw that in there. But all in all, thank you guys for listening to Bent Fenders Hurt Feelings. Remember to follow us on Twitter @Bent_Hurt. Like our Facebook page, join our Facebook group. We like to have a lot of discussion. Respect opinions of everybody, and congratulations to Justin Haley on winning the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona, and we will see you guys in the future. Thank you.
Follow us on Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, then resubscribe because it helps the count go up.
Oh, yes. I did not even mention that. We are on Spotify. How did I forget? Thank you for remembering.
They approved us very quickly.
Very quickly. Spotify and Anchor. That is where you can hear this. Spotify, just search Bent Fenders Hurt Feelings. We will pop up.
We'll probably work on getting on iTunes.
I'll work on getting on a bunch of places. But right now, we're just on Spotify and Anchor.
SoundCloud. Let us know, where do you listen to podcasts at? And we'll...
And how you let us know is following the social media. So, with that being said, I'm Dalton Moore signing off.
Bruce.
Thank you all for listening, and have a wonderful week.